everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening to the show live, it is the 20th of May at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you are listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you. I want to let you know we are live streaming this event. You can find that by heading to Facebook or YouTube and look for Katie Weaver, Domestic Mystic. And you can watch rather than listen. You might be noticing here around 1-2 Radio, more people are starting to live stream their shows. And we're hoping that will be to the benefit of the watcher and also of the host. So exciting stuff. And on that note, I think I forgot, but I wanted to share a link in the chat room to the live stream. So let me do that quickly. Okay, I'm getting there. Mars is home right now. She took a big part of May off of work. You know, her semester's over so that she could go do some playing in Miles City and hang out here at home and stuff like that. So, you know, this morning, 30 minutes ago, she said, I really need Dutch Bros. If someone needs Dutch Bros, like, you gotta go to Dutch Bros. So I walked in the door with 4 minutes to spare. Don't worry, though. I was all prepped and ready, but we had to make a Dutch Bros run. That's just how it is. And it is gorgeous today. Wow. Sunny, beautiful, just a tiny bit crisp out there still. Our baby chicks. Oh, I should have taken a picture. You guys haven't seen them in quite a while. They're looking a little more like chickens or like messed up pterodactyls right now, but they are really quickly outgrowing the baby pen, which is just a big tote, you know, where we can keep mesh over top of it and keep them in with a light on them at night. Scott set up their tote in a big wagon so that he can pull it out of the garage and out, you know, into the fresh air during the day and then push it back in at night. He calls it their mobile home. At any rate, they are quickly outgrowing that pen. We were just outside talking about what's next, because eventually they'll go out to our big barn, but they're still a little, we don't have electricity out there. And I have this littlest bit of PTSD about running a cord out there and hanging a light, because quite a few years ago, on a cold night, we did have a heat lamp hanging, you know, with a cord in one of our smaller barns out in our pasture. And so we live on an acre and our house is at the front, and then we have our big backyard, and then there's a fence, and then there's our pasture where we have a barn and a couple of smaller sheds and, you know, our garden, stuff like that. Anyway, so back there, we had run a cord out there for our hens. Luckily, we'd left the door open to the barn. We typically did at night. They'd come in and, you know, roost when they wanted to, and then they'd be up in the morning. And it was a cold, windy night. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, someone pounded on our door. And I was like, you know how when you're that asleep, it takes you a minute to kind of return to, you know, to life. And I sat up, you know, all confused, who's knocking at the door. And I could see through my bedroom window flames out in the pasture. And looked out my front bedroom window and realized it was a police officer. There was lights flashing in our front door. And at any rate, our barn was on fire. This wasn't now, of course. This was like, I don't know, probably 8 years ago. But so we answered the door, and they had actually already accessed our backyard through the side of the freeway. So they were already, the fire department was already there. And it was a small barn. Like, we're talking about a shed, not like a big barn. But they were there putting out the fire, and it was so shocking. But at any rate, the wind had blown the heat lamp down into the straw, and it ignited a fire. So the hens, luckily, we only lost two out of, I think we had 14 at the time, which the two was super sad. But mostly because the door to the barn was open, they were able to get out. But at any rate, so I'm kind of, I hate running a cord out there and with a light. I don't know. I guess we just need to make sure it's so secure that I'm not going to sit up 16 times in the night scared to death that the barn's on fire again. But anyway, so we're kind of in the in-between trying to figure out what to do with them. But we also ended up with three guineas. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen guineas or interacted with guineas, but they are the funniest little birds. They pack together, so they're always in a little clump, and they make the funniest little like trilling noise. So we had a pack of guineas years ago, and they were really bad for getting out of our yard. Like chickens don't fly that much. If you had a chicken that got out, they really made an effort. But the guineas will roost in your trees and fly around, and you'd be driving down the road and see your guineas in a neighbor's yard. And you could just roll down the window and point at them and yell, "Hey, you go home." And they'd all go, and then they'd turn and they'd all run home. But I love them. Oh, Lillian said guineas were her grandparents' favorites. Yes, I love them. Scott went into the hatchery a couple of weeks ago to get a few more chicks for our new brood that we're starting here, and they had guineas, so he bought me a few because he knows how much I love them. What I wish I could have is peacocks. I love peacocks so much. But where I live, peacocks could be a huge hazard. First of all, they're really noisy, and I'm too close to neighbors. Everyone would hate us more than they do. So I think, yeah, they wouldn't work out. Partly because my house is against the highway, I would be horrified at the thought of a peacock getting out on the highway and getting hit or causing an accident. We just don't live in the right place. Someday I hope we do. What I wouldn't give to like live right in smack dab in the middle of 10 acres, you know? So your dogs could do what they want, you could have whatever birds you want. Like, we would be more feral than we already are, I can tell you that. Yeah, they fly. They fly. I mean, they'd love roosting in my trees, like our guineas used to. I'm sure that would be true, but I just think we are not a safe space for them. It's the same reason I won't have a cat, because we're not safe for a cat. Unless you kept a cat locked in the house 24/7, and I don't want to do that. And I can't do that because of the pig door, because the pigs have to be able to come and go. And the dogs, for that matter, but I will not have animals here that I know I can't keep safe. Because why would I, right? Anyway, but yes, the chicks are getting along. But yeah, I'll have to share some pictures next week because they are super funny right now. And so are the guineas. The guineas are still in the incubator because they were smaller and they're just, I don't know, they seem a little bit more fragile. So they're still in a more enclosed space. But if you walk up to the incubator with something shiny, like a mirror, or Scott had a piece of copper wire that he was just like hanging around for him the other day, and they go crazy for it. It's so funny. They're adorable. But at any rate, that's what's new in my world. We're getting ready for our big family camping trip over the, or, you know, next weekend for Memorial Day per normal. So that's what's up. I wanted to talk this week. Yeah, right, Jane. She said, "I hate keeping cats indoors too. They seem to be happier when they get to roam free." I know people have to do it both ways due to their own circumstances, for sure. I would like to have cats that could roam, but where I live, it's just a no. And I love cats, but yeah. My parents lived across the street from us and down two doors, so they weren't as close to the highway. So it wasn't as big of a worry, but my mom had a cat that moved out for 2 years and then just came home one day. She was a long-haired orange, which says it all, right? And she had her own, personality and attitude, and that's how she was. And one day she moved out, and you would every once in a while glimpsed her in the neighborhood. So we knew she was around. And finally, one day my mom discovered, and this was literally after 2 years, discovered that that cat was living in, I just realized I didn't silence my phone. Realized that cat was living in a squirrel's nest up in one of her trees. She coaxed her out with a treat, and she came back in the house, and she was a house cat again. Though my mom's cats always had free rein to go outside, but I've always laughed about that. Like, she just chose to leave. Never really was sure why. She'd still come over to my house and eat my catnip and hang out with my chickens, but she was not living with them for a while. They broke up. Then I guess she got hungry and came back home. Oh, Oh, Laurie said she could never let her cat out outside in California because of the coyotes. Yeah, I mean, there's reasons for sure. Yeah. Hey, Quelly. Totally different topic today than birds, though I did consider. I was torn today about doing birds or doing spiders. We're doing spiders. Now, don't run away. Don't turn me off. Give me a chance. I've been saying it forever. Spiders are sacred for women. No offense to the boys. You guys, you can have spiders too. I just always find it fascinating that women are so afraid of spiders when spiders are a power animal for women, as are snakes. But we're going to talk about spiders today. So I tried to do covers that weren't too creepy crawly in case they're triggers for people. And if they are a trigger for you, this show's probably more for you than others, but we're going to talk about it. I wasn't raised afraid of spiders. My mom wouldn't kill a spider. She always caught them, like with a cup and a piece of paper or something, and took them outside. And so I always did that. She just felt like killing them was wrong. And then when I was a kid, my cousin had a tarantula, my cousin Eric. Eric was one of those kids that had like every creepy crawly known to man. In fact, they lived up against the side of a mountainside that was really deserty, and it was full of these little green lizards and monitors. And they'd catch them and keep them as pets. And every one of Eric's pets was named Leroy in some iteration. So, and Eric was like nearly a brother to me. I didn't have brothers, right? I had a baby brother that died when he was a baby. I didn't have brothers. So my cousins Eric and Brian were very much brothers to us growing up. And getting to hang out with them was like the greatest thing. We had so much fun together over the years. And then when I was 15 and Eric was 17, Eric was killed in a car accident. And so it just makes all of my memories of him like that much greater for me. And sometimes even that much more wild and funny. But anyway, so Eric had Leroy and Leroy and Leroy and Leroy and everybody was named Leroy in some way, because teenage boy. That's what you know. So he had a tarantula. And if you've ever had a tarantula walk on you, you know that they have these tiny, tiny toenails that kind of push into your pores as they walk. It is a wild feeling. And if you're terrified, that's dangerous for the spider and for you because you might, lose your shit when you feel that because it's crazy. Just feeling that like on your hands and your arms and having them walk over you is, it's different. So one time he challenged us to let Leroy walk on our faces. And some of you guys are dead right now, I know. But so I laid on the floor and he let Leroy walk around on my face. And Eric and Brian were so, and their best friend Tony, that was always at their house, they were real boys, in the way that, I mean, I don't know if that what that means. They were really, they teased the hell out of us. You did not want to fail a challenge or you were never going to live it down. So by God, if that spider was going to walk on my face, it was going to walk on my face. I wasn't going to say shit. So I let their spider run all over my face and it was fine. And then Christy had a turn and Leroy walked up her chest, up her face, stopped right about here on her nose and just stopped and sat there forever. And so she finally, kind of barely moving her mouth, says, "What happens when it stops moving?" And Eric, this jackass, says, "Oh, that means he's gonna bite." I've never seen that girl move so fast. We're lucky Leroy survived it. But anyway, it's not true. But it did not mean he was gonna bite. He was just comfy, I'm sure. Anyway, I've had a lot of spiders in my world, and I know I've talked about this a million times, but we owned a pet store when we were first married. I learned a lot. I have many regrets. It is what it is at this point in my life. But I had to get really comfortable with all the creepy crawlies. I had to learn how to feed the snakes and how to handle the spiders and how to pull a gecko out of a cage for somebody to buy and so on and so forth, you know? And so I had to learn how to handle the tarantulas there. We had a cobalt blue tarantula for a while. They're a little bit more rare, probably not crazy rare. But what tarantulas do when they shed their skin is that they have this big disc on their back, and that disc will pop off, and then they crawl out of their old exoskeleton, a whole new spider, and the old exoskeleton's just sitting there and it looks just like them. It is weird. One time we had a cobalt blue that was just starting to molt like that as we were closing for the night. And so Scott chose to stay, and he stayed up all night watching that spider molt. And it took him until like 5 o'clock in the morning to fully climb out of his old, old exoskeleton. But he just had to see the whole thing happen. But that's pretty wild. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. So I've not been afraid of spiders per se, but quite a few years ago now, winter time came. It was November, December here in Idaho. We were snowy. It was cold. And I discovered a cat face spider living above my desk. She had a big web built up there, and she was very peacefully existing, and she had the coolest face you have ever seen. Or it's not really her face, but it looks like their face. And I loved her, and I just felt so connected to her creatively. I was working on a book at that point, and I'd sit at that desk every day, and I'd look at her, and I'd talk to her, and I loved her. And I decided I'm not going to put her out. I mean, she would have frozen to death. I didn't know how long her life cycle was going to be, probably not long, but I liked having her there. And one day my cousin came to visit, and she whips her hat off and runs to where my spider is. She's like, "There's that spider." And I was like, "Oh my God, stop. She's my friend." She was gonna knock her down. But no, she was allowed to stay. I loved her. But the craziest thing happened in like late December of that year. Three flies started buzzing around my house. Like when it's cold in the winter like that, we don't have flies, but we had flies that year. And so Scott, like stunned him but didn't kill him with a whacker thing, fly swatter, and then threw him up into her web. And she zoomed over there and grabbed him and wrapped him all up, and she feasted on those spiders or on those flies for a while. About January, she laid a huge mess of eggs and she died. She lowered herself to the floor and died. And that was kind of it for me. She was welcome to stay, but I didn't really want hundreds of her babies hatching in the house, so I did move the eggs outside, though I don't know if they actually could have lived through the winter. I don't know. But that was the limit. But I loved having that winter with her. It was fascinating to just have her observing every day, and I was observing her. I hope everyone gets to have a winter with a spider like I did. But let's move on. All right, we're going to talk about Luminous. I'm going to share a link with you guys. In both chat rooms. And if you subscribe, you've already received Luminous this morning. Right, Jane, it's fascinating to watch, but when they start laying eggs, it becomes an issue. Yeah. That's kind of where I went. I don't think so. And Scott was like, "I 100% don't think so." Already, I insisted on keeping a spider alive in the house. He's not afraid. I mean, he's totally used to my bullshit. We've been together a really long time. Okay. I call this magazine this week, The Sacred Spider Edition. Oh, I did note that so we were supposed to have our big fair on Saturday or on Sunday, right? The witches market. And that's a big market that should have had like 25 vendors and big for us, you know. And it's a big long day. There's music, there's food, there's belly dancers. Like it's a big event that Terry over Healing Hands puts on every year, a few times a year. And by God, if it didn't rain all day. And they didn't cancel. They were like, we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. And so I'm like, all right, maybe I'm just being a baby. Maybe it's gonna get better. So we went, we set up. My brother-in-law brought over his big awning to go with our two so that we could really build like a compound of our awnings to try to keep our products dry. And it did not work. The rain was literally blowing sideways. And my feet and legs were so wet. And I was so worried about my glass. Like, I'm not worried about glass getting wet, but it started gusting. And in fact, a whole display of Beebles blew off a table onto the ground, and not a single one of them broke, believe it or not. But finally, about 1 o'clock, I went, you know what? I can't do anymore. It's not worth it. This isn't happening. And also, who the hell's coming out to shop in this? I wouldn't. So we called it a day. So that kind of super sucked because Scott and I had busted our butts to be ready for that fair. I have a lot of fun stuff, though, that it's going to go up on Etsy this week that I didn't sell at the fair. I sold two things. I sold a stained glass spider's web and a guillotine, a stained glass guillotine. I can't wait to show you the other one. They are so freaking cute. But at any rate, and that'll be next week. But it did not work out. And then by yesterday, weather fabulous. All week supposed to be gorgeous. Memorial weekend for once here in Idaho, fabulous. Yeah, Jane said she lost vases in the wind at a yard sale. She was so mad. Yeah, that's what was worrying me. I'm like, when does this like a beautiful stained glass piece just go flying off this table and shatter in the street? Not doing it. Yeah. Not worth it. So anyway, that's what happened with our fair. But it's fine. We have another event on the 31st and it'll be okay. There's another witch's market in the middle of the summer too. And I haven't signed up for it. I've been waiting. I normally don't do the dead of summer fairs because I can't do the heat. My body just it won't do it. But you never know. Sometimes the weather's not that terrible. And so I've been kind of waiting because I'm hoping she'll still have room for me at the last minute if the weather's not going to be insane. If it's in the 80s, I can live with that. But if it's in the 90s to hundreds, there's no way. I'm absolutely not doing it. I've put myself through a lot of that over the years, and well, I've gotten too old. I'm not doing it anymore. I was just looking to see if I can share a picture of the guillotine so that you can see how it turned out. Yeah, my picture is not great, but I'll show you anyway. You did hear that right, Lillian. Eat the rich, don't you know? Okay, I'm just sharing it to myself so I can share it with you. I had two guillotines. Like I said, I sold one. Which really got me because when Scott soldered these, the guillotines, he was like, why though? Like, who's going to buy that? And I was like, I don't know, Scott, but somebody will. Somebody is going to want this. I just think they're funny as hell and they're cute. And it was the first thing to sell. So there you go. Why is Facebook like this? I don't know if you guys know this, but recently Facebook has started when you save photos from there, they don't save as a JPEG anymore. So then you have to go in and save as and save them as a JPEG so that you can share them in lots of places that only allow a JPEG or a PNG. Why is Facebook like this? There's probably plenty of reasons why. There we go. Okay, behold the guillotine. The blade is a piece of purple mirror glass. You can't, There's only so much you can see in a picture, but yes, that's the guillotine. If I can't be irreverent and weird doing glass, why would I do it, right? For sure. Oh, there's a huge market for shadow stuff. Yeah, for sure. I kind of go back and forth. Though I have these moths that I had done. I was going to bring them in and show you guys, and I forgot, but I'll get them next week. You'll see it all. But the moth, I think they are so cute. And this lady came to my booth and looked at them, and she said, "How much are the butterflies?" And I said, "Oh, the moths." And I told her the price, and she goes, "Oh, they're moths? Oh, okay." And walked away. Like, really? Okay. Okay. They're still moths. It doesn't matter. Buy them or don't. Anyway, the sacred spider. Let's get into it. Sorry, you guys. We've been whiplashed today, all over the place. All right. So, weaving the web, the sacred spiritual connection between women and spiders. So, the spider as a sacred feminine symbol. They've been linked to feminine energy forever because they are creators. They're weavers of worlds. They're builders. They're birthers. They create. That's what you do. That's what I do. That's what we do in feminine energy. Spiders have been a sacred symbol of feminine power for intuition, creativity, and a connection to the unseen. Anytime you're out in nature and you see a spider web, like one of these giant webs that spans from one tree to another, and creates this huge masterpiece, you have to consider the amount of hours that was put into that. I always taught my kids, don't mess with those webs, don't tear them down. It's not fun or funny. You're destroying something that took a being countless hours and energy to make. So if you ever see a web like that in the wild, out in nature, be very careful and step around it. Don't ever destroy a spider's web, because you're destroying, like, essentially someone's life's work, a spider's life's work. But if you can sit with a web for a while and just observe the magic of a spider's web, wow. They're the ultimate crafters, really. The ultimate builders. In Native American mythology, Grandmother Spider is considered to be the wise weaver of the world. She brought fire to the people and spun the web of time and creation. She's considered to be a creator goddess in some cultures. She watches over all and guides women toward their intuitive gifts and sacred roles as life givers and storytellers. In Greek mythology, we have Arachne. She's a mortal woman. So skilled in weaving that she challenged the goddess Athena herself. So, if you remember that story, her story ends in her transformation. She turns into a spider body. But we're talking about the sacredness of crafting, of the power of feminine artistry, and how threatening it can be when a woman fully owns her gifts. And isn't that where it's at? The world is so scared of us. We are scared of us. Society is scared of us. When we are in our full power, when we fully entrench in our gifts, when we fully create the sisterhoods that we're meant to have, we are a powerful force to be reckoned with. If you are seeing spiders, or you're finding webs, think about that as messengers. Spiders can signal a time to create or revisit a creative project. They could be an invitation to reclaim your power. They could be a reminder to trust the timing of your life. It could be a nudge to connect to ancestral wisdom or female or feminine lineage. And sometimes spiders come up when you are about to, or beginning, or maybe even in the middle of spinning a new story about yourself. they can certainly show up during times of transformation. Right? Imagine if the Bible was written with genders reversed, right? You could see the web as a metaphor for womanhood. The spider's web is one of the most potent metaphors for the feminine path. Women are often the weavers of emotional, energetic, and spiritual fabric of families and communities. We hold stories, we connect people. We feel the tugs and trembles in the web when someone's hurting or in need, even from a distance. That intuitive thread, that's spider medicine. And it is in you. Now, how do you work with spider energy? Especially if spiders are a no-go for you. Well, first of all, I would highly recommend that you sit with spider energy and decide why. I would propose to you that potentially that's a learned behavior. How did your mother feel about spiders? Your grandmother? Siblings? Are you really afraid of spiders? Or were you taught to be afraid of spiders? Is this just a learned behavior from childhood that you adopted because you did? No shame in it. Just a question. If you want to consciously connect with spiders, consider journaling like a weaver. Let your pen become your web. Write freely. Don't censor your thoughts. Don't cross anything out. Don't tear out pages and throw them away. Just let yourself freestyle and see what you come up with, what you're spinning, what's going on in your head. Create something with your hands. Crochet, paint, braid your hair, cook, work with dough, work with clay, go put your hands in the dirt. Let your magic come through physical creation. Meditate with spider symbolism. Visualize a glowing web surrounding you, woven from the threads of your past, present, and future, and ask spider what message she has for you. Build a tiny altar. On your altar, or you could create a new little spot or an effigy, to place a spider charm, draw a web symbol, add objects that remind you of your sacred feminine power. Just don't forget that you are a weaver. You're a weaver of your future. You're a weaver of the world around you. Give yourself some credit. You are her. Tess Whitehurst, in her book, Magical Housekeeping, she has a little segment on spiders, and she says that if you catch a spider and take it outside, that you can ask it a question. And the answer might not come immediately, but at some point, the answer will come. I've done this lots of times. I thought that was a magical thought. And many times, me or one of the kids has caught a spider and taken her outside and just asked her a little question and let her go. Try it. Jane, you said earlier, and I didn't get to it, that for housewarming gifts, she gives one of the little catchers so that people can, the spider catcher container things for housewarming gifts so people can just learn to catch spiders and put them outside. I love that. In Kelly's podcast this week, her Re-Feminist History, she's talking about Black female military history. DEI recall that, motherfuckers. Love you, Cal. This is World War II's Central Postal Directory Battalion. And that's right. It was an entire battalion of Black women. 800 women, in fact. Read it and then go listen to it. Right here is the hyperlink to go click on it and go listen to that episode. You will be blown away. So thank you, Kelly, for that. I absolutely love it. Okay, a little poem, a little reminder. A spider in the house, they say, brings luck that doesn't fade away. She weaves her threads of fate so fine, a quiet gift, a subtle sign. Catch her gently, do no harm. She means no threat, she brings no alarm. Release her where the wild things roam, and luck will follow you back home. Now, if you guys be catching spiders and asking them questions, I want to hear about it. Be sure to tell me. Over at True Crime Squad, we've got, oh man, we have a lot going on. So, yeah, come over and check it out, especially if you're following Dave Alvallo with us. You guys, there was a hearing last Wednesday. We aired it on Thursday and did a live react. That's the Sass Continues episode here. It was so damn funny. And I know attempted murder's not funny. That's not what was funny. You know, Lori is representing herself. She's pro se. And the shit she said to the judge. I mean, she's lucky she's already incarcerated because she should have been held in contempt for her attitude. But anyway, if you're following that case, or if you only follow crime that I publish that is funny, but you want to go watch that one because what in the. It was great. It was comedy gold. All right. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. If you need something to meditate along to or listen to, it's right here. And that is it for Luminous this week. So I hope you found something to benefit you from. I know, I wish they were showing her face too. Oh, you have Court TV to thank for that. They really muffed things up during her Idaho trial with showing her face too much, and now we never get to see her face. But there are certain times I would really like to see what's written on her face. Though you can pretty much hear it all through her voice. Though I don't know if I've ever heard somebody in their 50s sound more like a teenager than Lori Vallow. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, we definitely have some time for readings and some healings today. So, or some animal communication. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. Jane said, time permitting, can you check in with Justin Anderson in a Philadelphia hospital and send healing? He had a brain bleed in February and has been fighting the hospital with infections and bed sores. Oh, Jane, I'm so sorry. I think this is a family member of yours, right? I've seen you post about this. Yeah, let's see what we can do. I'll just tune in through you. Yeah, his poor system is tired. We're just wrapping him up in light. And his family slash caregivers. Feels like he's got some people around him that are just as worn out. Okay. All right. I did some really light grounding for him, Jane. Nothing crazy because of the situation he's in. But I wrapped a lot of pink light around him. And then again, did the same for his caregivers because they just feel so freaking tired as well. Okay. I'm so sorry. Laura said, I would love a scan and some healing, feeling very off balance. Had a trip and fall on Sunday. Oh, and I'm luckily fine, but I need to get back in my body to help me avoid these types of things. Sure. Let's take a look, Laura. You know what it is? You have a root chakra shift. And I think it's slowly fixing itself as they will. But in the meantime, it's really got you feeling wonky. So let's fix it. So I'm just going to gather that root up. It's shifted. I think it was pretty significantly shifted away from your body, but again, it's kind of slowly bringing itself back. But I'm going to finish the work. And actually, I'm kind of feeling like we're just, let's do a group grounding. I think all of you guys could use a little grounding. We've had an uncentered last week. I think the full moon was pretty uncentering, and we've just kind of been writing since then, feeling pretty ungrounded. And so let's just work on it together. I'm gonna pull a bowl out here. I guess I shouldn't put so many things in a single bowl. But let's do a group grounding. I think everybody could benefit from it. So we're just gonna breathe together. I'm gonna chime the bowl. And while I do that, I'm gonna ask you first to envision red tree roots growing out of the bottoms of your feet, deep down into the earth. And then I'll prompt you. We're going to pull a strong burst of energy from your left foot, from those roots, all the way up through your foot, clear to the top of your head, back down the right side, and down into the earth. And then we're going to keep letting that energy flow for a few minutes. It's a reciprocal energy that should flow up from your left foot, clear to the top of your head, back down through your right foot into the earth, and back around. So we're going to just, we'll do that together. And experience that, just help everybody get a little more centered. Right. So breathing with this frequency. And sending your red tree roots deep, deep down into the earth. Now pulling a powerful burst of energy from your left foot, letting that move all the way up your body, from your foot to your knee, to your hip, to your shoulder, to the top of your head. And then back to your shoulder, your hip, your knee on the right side, of course, through your right foot, and back all the way through those red tree roots. And now starting back up the left side. And now I'm just going to let their frequency flow for a minute while you continue to let that energy run. And let it just continue to align with the frequency of the bowl and with completely and thoroughly grounding you. Okay. Good. All right. Well, now we can just go out and conquer the world, obviously. We're good and grounded now. Love it. If you want to build on that, get yourself outside today. Get your feet in the dirt or the grass or the sand. Put your back against a tree for a few minutes and really breathe in that energy. Allow yourself to really bond with the energy of the tree. Keep focusing on that root. Lillian said her energy is still low. Can I speed it up for you? Well, hopefully that helped, but yeah, let's take a look for you anyway. It's your aura. It's heavy. I'm going to clear that. I love interacting with you on social media, by the way, Lillian. I love your stories, and I love that you share them. Okay. All right, that's going to make a really big difference. I'm going to put some light around you. Okay, good. All right, I'm just going to speed up your whole energy body. Good. Your throat feels really good. So did your heart chakra. Your crown's a little big, so I'll pull that in. You're just a thinker. All right. And double check that ground now. That looks good. Okay, my love. That is better. What color was your aura? A very bright, I want to say topaz blue, but that's not bright. More like a blue sky blue underneath that gray haze. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Laura, let's take a look. Yes, a lot better. The only the other thing, Laura, I have for you, and this would be a question for your naturopath or your doctor, but electrolytes. And it's something you can add on your own if you are comfortable doing that. But that was my other hit, is that maybe you are a little out of balance in the minerals in your body. And that can really add to dizziness. So let's make sure that you're in good balance. Yeah, we haven't done singing bowls in a while. I need to do better. You know what happened? And this is silly because, we're months down the road now, but you know how you just kind of you create a rule in your head, and then even when you don't need the rule anymore, like we program ourselves constantly and then have to deprogram ourselves. But Rico, for like the last year of his life, absolutely insisted on being in my office for every single show, which was fine. I loved having him here. He had a little bed next to my chair, and that was, he was my little buddy, but he couldn't handle the singing bowls. Yeah, I'm sure some of you remember having times where I forgot he was in here and did a singing bowl, and then he goes bananas. And honestly, since he passed, because Rico passed in November, I have just kind of kept my singing bowls put away and didn't really think about the fact that I can freely use them now without hurting anybody's little doggy feelings. And so I need to get them out and get them back in action. I know you guys love the singing bowl work, and we all need that. We definitely need that. So, yeah, I'll do better. It occurred to me, right, as I said, let's pull this bowl out and do a grounding. I was like, because my first thought was, oh, Rico. Yeah, you know how we are. Again, we program ourselves. So, oh, Jane said there's a spider climbing down her curtain right now. Okay, ask her a question. I love it. I'm going to jump over in the other chat room quick. Hey, Shireen. Yeah, Shireen said her 18-year-old dog was killed by coyotes Thursday night. Oh no, Shireen, you're kidding me. Oh shit, I thought you were talking about the other one. Oh, damn it. I am so sorry. Yes, let's do some love on your heart. And if everybody wants to join me. Oh. Okay. Just wrapping you up in love. That is so unfair. Dang it. None of you guys deserved this. All right. Wrapping your heart up in light. And just giving you a big cosmic hug, my friend. I am so sorry. Okay. All right, that is done. Okay, she's in California, Jane, like you. Yeah. Yeah, well, we are all holding space for you, Shireen. I'm so very sorry. Oh, Lillian said her electrolytes were low as well. Yeah, I did say that. And your therapist, electrolytes are really, in my opinion, underrepresented in our health. And I think our doctors, it's just one of those spots that are underrepresented. But part of that is, and I only say this because I've seen this happen in a multi in more of my clients than you'd even believe. And it's something that goes forever undiagnosed. But if you're going through a lot of dizzy spells and your doctor can't figure out why, and it's not an inner ear thing, it's not a brain thing, but you're constantly feeling dizzy, have them check your calcium levels. Because what happens sometimes is that your parathyroids go into overdrive. It's called hyperparathyroidism, and they start flooding your body with calcium. And that creates dizziness and spots in front of your eyes and headaches. And it goes really underdiagnosed for whatever reason. So, and I'm not saying this for any specific person, I'm just saying it because it's coming up for me. And so, that's kind of my job. If, something needs to come out of my mouth, it has to. So, if you find yourself in that position where they've exhausted every other look and you're still struggling, ask them about your parathyroids. They can do a PTH test to see what your levels are and if they're way too high. And they can look at your calcium levels and see if they're too high. But it is a huge cause of dizziness. Anyway, that's all. Not sure why I'm telling you, but that came through to me, so I'm telling you. Okay. Alrighty, well, I'm thinking that we are about done. Yeah. So, I will be back next week, same place, same time. Don't forget that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. And you can find me over there 24/7. Well, not 24/7, 365. I used to work 24/7. I did. I don't do that anymore, but. Haven't for years, but you can find me over there every single day. And if I'm not signed in and you were looking for me, two easy options. You can either do a callback request and I just get a text that says, you know, that there's somebody waiting for you, and so I'll get to where I can sign in and take your call as soon as I can. Or you can do a scheduled call so that we can pick a time that works really good for both of us. But either way, I am around. I am here to help you guys. That is my life's work, and it's my honor. And as I've said many times, I consider you guys to be an extension of my family. And so if you need something from me, it's important to me. You're never bothering me. Also, if it's important to you, it's important to me. Sometimes you guys, you know, say things to me like, I know this is stupid, but, or I hate to bother with you this, or bother you with this, but, and things like that. No, you are never bothering me. If it's important to you, it's important to me, period. It doesn't have to be the biggest problem in the world to be a problem, right? If it's hanging heavy on your heart, then I care about it. So, of course, I can help you with a psychic reading. I do a lot of energy work at Once You Listen. I do a lot of animal communication at Once You Listen. If you just need a pep talk, a kick in the ass, somebody to just lay something bare for you, I can do that. I will do that. And sometimes you just need a sister for a minute, and I'm happy to do that too. So come and see me over there if you need me. Of course, just go to number2listen.com and look for me, Katie Weaver, and you can give me a call. That's how it works. Or a chat. I'm almost always available by chat, so that's an easy way to connect as well. So, you guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I had one more really quick story. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this because it's a personal medical thing, but at the same time, I'm feeling compelled. So here we are. So I was put on a second blood pressure med about a month ago. My blood pressure's just a little bit higher than my doctor wanted, and as it turned out, it was pain that was driving it up. And now that we've got the pain straightened out, my blood pressure has come back down and is fine. So that's the good news. But the bad news is, I was blowing up. And you know I have lipedema in my legs, so they're already blown up, like a lot. But my legs were like tubes. My knees didn't want to bend, ankles weren't bending, my feet, I couldn't even get a shoe on my right foot one day. That's how bad they were, and I was just flummoxed. And my physical therapist was flummoxed. She's like, "You never blow up like this. I just don't understand what's happening." And it was very painful. And one night last week, I woke up in the middle of the night to my mother in my head, my mom coming to me, and she said, "It's the Losartan." And I didn't know what she was talking about. I went back to sleep. I woke up the next morning and I thought, "It's the Losartan. What does she mean?" So I looked up Losartan. She meant the swelling. It was the Losartan doing it to me. So I stopped taking it. Made a doctor's appointment, you know, the works. She agreed, we'll take you off of, well, I went off of it, obviously, immediately. And within about 4 days, everything went back to normal. So she thought it was the combo of Losartan and the other med. She said you just never know with people what might, cause that. But that was my mom coming in to make sure that I knew. I obviously wasn't listening to my body and maybe to her because she woke me up in the middle of the night to make sure I heard her. But that's what it was. So thank you, Mom. Big reminder to me to check in more with her and with my own body. But yeah, isn't that something? So yeah, because I know last week I didn't feel good. I was super uncomfortable. And that was why, because my legs were balloons. But anyway, I'm better now. That's all done. So, whew. And also a good steroid shot got my pain under control. So, my blood pressure came back down on its own anyway, so good news for that. Yeah. So big win for my mom. I thought some of you guys would appreciate that story. All right, my loves, that's what I've got. I will be back next week, same place, same time. Thanks for being here. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world.